Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Earlier this year, we all followed with keen interest the debate that took place within the ranks of the Boy Scouts of America. I believe we were all taken by surprise when the Boy Scouts announced on January 28th that they were going to take another look at the ban on homosexual members at their February meeting. This announcement came only 6 months after they had completed a two-year study on the ban, which ended with a reaffirmation of their policy declaring it is in the best interest of scouting to keep the ban in place. The May vote to lift the ban was devastating to many, and immediate efforts began to start an alternative. In September, the first convention was held, and the organization's new name was announced. My guest today is the executive director of that new organization, Rob Green. He began his career as a scouting professional in 1993 with the Gulf Stream Council in West Palm Beach, Florida. He became Scout Executive CEO in September 2004 and helped facilitate the Palmetto Council's turnaround. He resigned on June 30th after 20 years with the Scouts as a response to the vote in May. Thanks, Rob, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You've been with the Scouts, or you were with the Boy Scouts for 20 years. What changes did you see in the Scouts since you first became involved in 1993?
Well, I can tell you, for so many years, about 19 and a half of them while I was with the Boy Scouts, I really bought into the mission and purpose. And over again, I heard from my national leadership that, you know, our values aren't for sale. We've drawn the line in the sand. We'll never change. So these were the things I would repeat all the time as I went out in the field and talked to volunteers and donors and the like. But something really changed in late January. You mentioned that all of us were caught by surprise on January 28th when the announcement came that the Boy Scouts were looking at this. I was caught by surprise, and so were all 286 Scout executives across the country. We had no warning, and most of us heard it on the MSNBC broadcast 5 minutes before our chief Scout executive told us about it.
So they didn't even send you an email.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so we knew there was a conference coming up, and it was an important one, and that something was going to be addressed, but, you know, we actually heard it over the news before the inside group ever knew about it, which was really disconcerting and hard to take. And then over time, we all realized that this was a push from the inside of the Boy Scout leadership and not, you know, special interest groups that were applying pressure.
But do you think it was, I know that, trying to think of their names, Turley was one of them, and the executives from the, you know, I always thought it was, of course, they were on the inside. Those two executives who were part of Ernst & Young and AT&T CEOs, that they were the ones, of course, they were members of the board, and they were pushing for this change.
Certainly a lot of corporate pressure, and at whatever point the top leaders, the key three of the Boy Scouts, who were Wayne Brock, Chief Scout Executive, Wayne Perry, National President, and Pico Perez, National Commissioner, all of them at first said, you know, this is the wrong direction. It's not something we want to do. We're not happy with this, and felt a little bit, I think, that they were needed to be pushed in that direction. But over time, they really began to champion this, and it was so frustrating for people from the field because the vast majority of Americans were totally against it, and poll after poll came back saying, you know, 85-90% of Boy Scout people did not want to see this happen. And so at the last moment before a final resolution had to be put forth, that group decided instead of making it the whole package where homosexual leaders were allowed in, that they would just apply it to youth for the time being. And that got past enough of their board member delegates to pass and get that vote done on May 23rd.
So
it's very disappointing to all of us from the inside.
Yeah. What was it, 1,400 voted on it, is my understanding?
That's correct.
Okay. But my whole thing is, and as we're looking into what's happening with the Boy Scouts, once those Boy Scouts turn 18, those who identify as homosexual, once they turn 18, they're going to be no longer allowed to be involved because they're adults.
Well, that's the policy that will take effect January 1. Okay. However, the top leadership of the Boy Scouts, the gentleman I just named, have already stated that they will continue to push for the rest of this to happen. In fact, they've even stated that if it becomes a Supreme Court issue, back in 2001, the Boy Scouts won a case. It was the Boy Scouts of America versus James Dale, who was a homosexual leader in New Jersey. And they fought for the right based on the language in the Scout Oath and Law about being morally straight and clean and reverent, that the Boy Scouts had a right as a private membership organization to choose their own leaders, and homosexuality was incompatible with that, with the character. They will no longer take that position. So if it goes back to the Supreme Court, the Boy Scouts have already conceded that they will willingly lose that case. And that's really troubling.
That is great.
It's only a matter of time. It's not something that's going to be, you know, if anybody in America believes that the youth component was the only part that's going to get passed, they've got another thing coming.
Oh, wow. So it's actually the top executives within the Scouts, the ones you named. And Bob Knight did, Robert Knight with American Civil Rights Union wrote an article, and he actually did some digging, and I looked at the 990 of the Boy Scouts of America, and the six-digit figure, the salaries of these guys are six digits. And you know, I have to wonder if that isn't part of it. They're afraid of losing that very high figure of a salary.
Yeah, the public figures that were announced were over $600,000 per person. So not just six figures, it's like real high up
there.
Well, that's true. And some are, you know, the most troubling part for me was not the money and not the way that the vote went down. All that was troubling. But that these guys at the very top stated separately, we believe this is wrong, but... And anytime you start a sentence with those words, I think this is wrong, but, and whether it's you, and however you apply it, I think it's wrong to commit adultery, but, or child pornography, but you're basically saying, I have no character. You know, I no longer stand for what I believe is right. And I don't know how anybody can do business that way. And that's when I decided to resign. It was, you know, about 4 months before my final day with the Boy Scouts where I said, I cannot work for an organization that has lost their moral compass.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a surprise to anybody. My resignation was well planned and put out there a long time before it actually became effective. So but we did all we could until May 23rd to try to defeat this from the inside. But It wasn't to be.
Yeah, I know that I think it was May 17th when there were rallies around the country at a Scout Council headquarters. A group of us went up to Erie to the French Creek Council, and we met with the Scout executive up there. And a very troubling comment he made, he said it a couple times, is the Scouts will make the best decision that will help them as a business, you know, would make the best business decision. So, and I never viewed the Scouts as a business, but if they were just approaching it as a business, then I knew that they were going to vote the wrong way on the 23rd.
Yes, but even that, I mean, that statement... Everybody on the inside of scouting knew that if this type of decision was made, a large exodus would leave scouting. And I mean, the reports to the country were somewhere between 30 and 40% of all people involved in scouting would leave if they embraced the sexual life.
Between 30 and 40%, is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow.
And we're talking about an organization with 4 million members.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine any business thinking that it was a smart business move to lose 30 to 40% of their customers. I mean, if you lose 5%, you should be very concerned. But to lose 30 or 40. So what they found, though, in the short run, is what they thought would be an acceptable middle-of-the-road solution, which was to say, well, how can an organization discriminate against young people?
Yeah.
You know, so they thought this was something that would resonate with the American people, and they got enough people to vote for it. Mm-hmm. But everybody who thinks this through and has seen the gay lobby kind of push their weight around know that it's just the first step. And so that's not it won't be a surprise to anybody when the next thing happens. And even more scary than the embracing of the gay leaders is, you know, the trans everything that's out there today, transgender, where we at Trail Life had to decide to define what a boy is.
Oh, my goodness.
Because today, you can't say
you
what
can't,
a boy
that's,
is anymore.
That's true.
And so it's actually a male child from birth who has remained that way.
It's pretty sad when you have to go through and define what a boy is. I know John Stenberger was on top of this from the beginning, and I've known John through the Arlington Group and then the DC Group, which meets quarterly. But anyway, the effort began almost immediately to, actually it began before that, because I think John knew what was coming down. But On My Honor was started. Give us a little bit of information as far as what happened during the summer to get Trail Life up and running.
Sure. Well, John was the rallying point from the beginning with On My Honor, and what he was doing is not fighting against the Boy Scouts.
Right.
He was fighting for the policy they've had for 102 years.
Yes.
So, I mean, he wasn't, and they considered him someone who was going up against them.
The enemy.
But he wasn't. He was supporting the policy they've always stood for. And at first, when he organized groups through On My Honor, it was just to support the Boy Scouts and say, way to go, guys. We're standing with you.
Yeah.
But over time, he saw them change and go the wrong direction.
Wow.
Well, what happened was in June, shortly after the May vote, a number of small organizations across the country were starting up their own Christian scouting groups. And so as they started to kind of get going on their own, some people from John's group and from American Heritage Girls, which is our sister organization, Trail Life, that used to be close aligned with the Boy Scouts until they did this, just said, let's bring these groups together and talk about what the next step is. I mean, do we look for a legal action against the Boy Scouts? Do we try to fight this and hope it changes our minds? What do we do? And the answer was to start a national organization that would be the premier youth character and adventure type of outdoor program that would basically replace the Boy Scouts, take their disenfranchised leaders and families that they've kind of left out in the cold, and then be a viable option with all the same level of programming and training and adventure that people came to expect from the Boy Scouts, but without a sliding moral compass.
Right.
So that's where Trail of Life came out of.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I know Patty Garaby there with American Heritage the Girls had fought within, you know, trying to keep the Girl Scouts on the right path, and she did that for years and years to where it just got to where she just pulled back and started American Heritage Girls. So
it's been a really successful model,
yes.
And they have helped us so much as Trail Life Group has gotten started to just lean on what they've done and ask Patty and her staff and her volunteers for all kinds of advice so we can be in the same realm that they're in, because they walked this path 18 years ago.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I interviewed Patty shortly after the vote, and I told her at that point it was good that they were in place so that they could do just that they could tell you the best way to form a new organization, such as, you know, national organization. So they'd been down that path, as you said, and they knew the ins and outs and which was the right path and which was the wrong path to take as far as being successful. So Trail Life USA, that name was announced, I think it was September 6th in, Nashville, where you had your conference?
In Nashville. That conference was really amazing. As soon as we left Louisville on the 30th of June to start thinking about what this new organization would be, a temporary board was appointed, and we started down the road of getting a 501c3 designation. And so the name eventually was selected behind the scenes with a lot of focus groups. And by the time we got to Nashville, there were 1,200 people, which is the most we could take. We had to turn away a couple hundred.
Oh, wow.
That showed up at a hotel there, and for a couple of days, we really laid out the program as much as we knew, all the volunteer teams that were doing it, and the excitement just kind of grew. And ever since then, it's been a grassroots movement. There are Trail Life intended groups all over the country that are starting up and saying we're interested, hundreds and hundreds, but we don't officially launch until January 1st, so we're telling them for insurance reasons and for just to make sure that the leaders are approved by their local churches and trained, youth protection trained, that they don't start recruiting kids and going on activities yet. So we have a system, and the organization part is kind of slowing everybody down, but the passion is there all over the place.
Yeah, organization does tend to slow things down. But if you do it right, but if you want to do it right, you have to do it in a methodical way.
It's important, right?
Yeah, and that January 1st is also the day when the new Boy Scout policy goes into effect, right, of accepting?
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, a lot has been done, just like Trail Life's doing a lot behind the scenes to be ready for that date, so is the Boy Scouts. I mean, a lot of people, the second that vote went down, took it as a kind of carte blanche ability to do what they wanted to in their own troops, and Boy Scouts have certainly not done anything to stop them from doing that. And there are councils across the country in Boy Scouts that are already including homosexual leaders in their programs.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of daring the Boy Scouts to do anything.
To say anything.
They won't. They won't do anything.
No. I can see San Francisco, maybe San Diego doing that.
There's been parades all over the country, the gay parades, where scouts and leaders have, you know, openly marched in it. whether they're declaring for themselves or just that, hey, look, we're able to do this. And that's not just the liberal places. You know, that Salt Lake City was a national one that got a lot of headway. So it's troubling, and I would have expected the Boy Scouts to at least, from a national perspective, to at least enforce their own policies while they exist.
That shows the direction that they're going. I know Cradle of Liberty Scout Council, which is located in Philadelphia, of course, homosexuals have been trying to get them out of their headquarters, since at least 2002, shortly after the Supreme Court decision. They had built a headquarters, used their own money to build a headquarters back in 1929 on property right in downtown Philadelphia, property the 1928 city council had given them free use of forever. So the city of Philadelphia defined forever at about 87 years. But, the scouts, I mean, they vacated the premises. I think officially they were out on October 30th of this year, and they've moved outside of the city. But homosexual activists were not satisfied until the scouts completely were out of the building because of their, quote-unquote, discriminatory practices. But the scouts, the Cradle of Liberty, had already made the decision to leave the headquarters in Philly even prior to the final vote. But I saw them leaning that direction. Anyway, it's very troubling because we'd fought for the Cradle of Liberty Scout Council and then for the National Boy Scouts to do what they did in voting to undermine all that they stand for, to strip out the foundation, which is very, very troubling. So
Even now, the vast majority of councils across the country, and I said there's 286 of them, definitely do not like what happened. And the national policy change is severely affecting their youth membership, their ways that they can raise money, their popcorn sales. Mm-hmm. So a lot is affected by what the national group did, and their political correctness has really hurt a lot of the programs. And Trail Life and other youth adventure programs for boys are not going to recoup all of those losses, meaning a lot of those families are just going to drop out, period, and say, why should we deal with all this hassle? Let's just take our son out of this. Yeah. And so he won't even get any of the character building advantages that they would have had with Boy Scouts. And now with Trail Life, they wash their hands of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's really sad for everybody. It's a fallout. It's not going to help anyone.
That's true. And as usual, it's the kids who suffer when it comes to the advance of the homosexual agenda. It's the kids who suffer. And that was an excellent point. I hadn't thought about that component where there will be families who just wash their hands of the whole. It's political correctness run amok, but they don't want any involvement at all in that. And they don't want to expose their boys to the controversy there. Right. Yeah, that is definitely a loss for the kids. There was a church in Delaware County, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, who had BSA charter for 92 years. And September 30th, they announced that they were no longer going to hold that charter. And, of course, the local newspaper thought that was just tragic and all this stuff. But that's another example. There's this church, and the first scoutmaster of that troop 92 years ago was a pastor of that church. And so they've been deeply involved in the Boy Scouts up until September 30th.
Well, that's the type of church that we are getting in contact with.
Okay.
What we're not doing is going to existing Boy Scout troops and saying, hey, you want to switch over to Trail Life?
Well, right.
What's happening is hundreds and hundreds of them who are dropping their Boy Scout program have come to us, and sometimes when we hear that they've dropped one, we'll call them and say, there is an alternative. And it's tragic because the families that were in that program, and sometimes it's four or five generations over that 90-year period or more, that have gotten Eagle Scout, and they're proud of their scouting heritage. Now they're saying, is everything that our family did and stood for now just null and void?
Yeah.
And so our message is, no, we want to kind of honor that entire legacy.
Absolutely.
And embrace it and say, if you've completed something in scouting, we're going to recognize that here in Trail Life. So your advancement that your grandson has gotten up to Life Scout or Star or whatever, we're going to let him start his Trail Life experience right there, not go back and start over.
Okay,
if you're an Eagle Scout in Trail Life, in Boy Scouts, and you want to come over to Trail Life and earn the Freedom Award, you can do that as an adult. So a lot of these guys who made it Eagle as a 14, 15-year-old, now dropped away from scouting, they can come into Trail Life and continue to wear that Eagle badge and then get the Freedom Award as well, which is our highest honor.
Oh, so fantastic.
There's a lot of great interaction that's going on. I don't expect Boy Scouts of America to honor our trail badges, but we'll certainly honor their merit badges.
Well, okay, good. Yeah, I think the Boy Scouts, I think there's no hope for them at this point. And I was on y'all's website last night, and it says, our vision, as Trail Life's vision, is to be the premier national character development organization for young men, which produces godly and responsible husbands, fathers, and citizens.
Yeah, and we're not only willing to define what a boy is, we're willing to define who God is. You know, unlike other organizations that will say, you know, we believe in a higher power, what we believe in, you know, a blade of grass or nature is God. We have one God, and he's the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
So we have a broad but distinctly Christian statement of faith that whoever is going to be a charter partner with us or is going to be an adult leader must adhere to. So we don't have leaders who are kind of wishy-washy and just want to be an outdoor skills expert. We have leaders who are devoted to Christ and want to further the gospel and want to bring godly values to kids. So that's a real distinctive between us and the Boy Scouts is we want to serve any youth, whether they're atheist, agnostic, Christian, whatever. But all of our leaders must be Christian at every level.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, and your motto is walk worthy. And then you quote Colossians 1:10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God.
Some of those things that came up out of our meetings were just so obviously God-ordained. Mm-hmm. I mean, the walk worthy, one of our guys on our board said, you know what, I think I have a motto. And people said, okay, what is it? And at that point, we were saying, do we even need a motto? You know, are we going to have one?
Yeah.
And he said walk worthy and where it came from, and we just sat there and went, wow.
Wow.
And so after that, you know, the handshake and some of our other things that came out of it were just instant decisions. People said, you know what, that really fits our organization and what we want to show and do and be. And so that walk worthy was one of those things that, you know, when it comes to a statement of faith or some of the other statements we've made, it takes hours and hours and hours to grind through word by word. But that walk worthy was a 10-second
pose.
Yes, that sounds good. Let's move on.
That goes so well with the concept of a trail. You have to walk down a trail. So you have to walk worthy as you go down that trail. So that is an ideal model.
And not only that, but this is kind of a cool thing, what came out of it. There's a walking stick. If you ever go on a camp out, every kid wants to pick up a stick and play with it and hike with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get one about as tall as they are and carve it. And,
my 5-year-old grandson likes to do that too, you know, at 5 years.
Well, our thing, besides just honoring the legacy and remembering what scouting has been, and what we want to do is called raise the standard. And the standard, way back to biblical days, was the pole that the flag is, that you carry it on going into the battle. And so our standard is that walking stick. And what we're having kids do is have a stick that they basically pick, and they use that as their standard as they go along the trail, and you can do all kinds of stuff with it. But then there's an official standard that we're going to have them attach. It'll be nice and polished, and they're going to carve in the day they joined and when they made a certain rank, and then going to attach these medallions to it that represent some real key points of their trail. And I can see this standard or stick leaning against the doorway, you know, two generations from now, and grandson comes in and says, Granddad, what's that stick over there in the corner? And he can relive his whole experience along the trail by just showing what he did along that trail. And I just think that was a really cool addition. Another thing that just came out of a meeting with some guys, and they said, let's raise the standard.
Mm.
I thought that's just an incredible move of God that will show generations in the future what it was like.
And the country needs that. The country needs generation of future generations, beginning with this, you know, generation that's now involved in trail life. We need that to turn this country around. We need young men. You know, we need an organization that will create young men who are godly and responsible husbands, fathers, and citizens. How, if a church is interested in starting a trail life troop, how can they do that?
Well, it's really easy. We have a great website that will lead them right through those steps, and it's www.traillifeusa.com.
Okay, trail.
And, the hardest part is to get those two L's together, trail, life. So there's two L's.
Okay, yeah.
And then USA.com.
Okay.
And as soon as you get on there, you'll see a picture of the United States, and in a tab that says Charter a Troop. And it walks you through what a charter organization does and is. It's a really a great marriage of Trail Life USA and the church. We don't want troops to come and meet in the basement of a church and then leave, you know, every Tuesday night. We want them to be firmly ingrained with the ministry of the church and actually be an outreach ministry. So it's much more of of a partnership than most churches are used to if they've had a scout troop in the past.
Okay, it's more of a partnership with the church itself then.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great because the boys need that. They need to have that partnership and know it's not just
one. We know of tens of thousands of families, about 30,000 or so, that have called in and emailed into the website saying, we want to join it. We want our son to join the troop. Tell us when one is established nearby. So that's a great opportunity for a church, if you're a pastor, mm-hmm. to say, you know, we know there are young families in our community ready to come and be a part of a church that has a Trail Life Troop. So I think it's a great outreach for a pastor to say, let's be that church that has one. So let's, this influx of new families come, let's have them come to our church.
Absolutely.
But it can really be a growth opportunity as well.
Okay, so TrailLifeUSA.com, and everything's all spelled out. No sharing of L's with Trail and Life. And is contact where they people can contact you with questions, email or something there on the
there
website?
There is, yep. Okay. Mine is robg@traillifeusa.com. And they can hit a tab if they have a program question. There's a 16-page FAQ on there. There's a 39-minute video that shows what our program is like and how it interacts with the current scouting program and how we transfer advancements. And a lot can be discovered on there without
on the website,
emailing in a question.
Okay,
sure.
And it's traillifeusa.com. And I do encourage folks to go to that website, check it out, because I know Trail Life USA is on the right path to helping the boys in this nation to fill the void that the Boy Scouts have created by their outrageous decision to allow homosexual youth. And I think officially it'll be also allowing homosexual leaders here in a very short order.
That's right.
So, again, thanks for being with us, Rob. I appreciate that. And traillifeusa.com. And your email is robg@traillifeusa.com.
That's right.
So
thank
keep
you
up
so
good
much,
work,
Barbara.
And we'll keep you guys in our prayers.
Wonderful. Appreciate it.
Hey, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.